Hello, gorgeous.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Jessica Harlow Show. I'm your host, Jessica Harlow, or Miss Jessica Harlow to some people, at least on YouTube. I'm best known for being a content creator and producer in mainly the beauty and self-help categories. I created this podcast specifically for young women that want to do more than just admire beautiful, successful, happy women, but also give themselves the permission and the tools to become one themselves. If you're tired of the noise of the world telling you how you should look or how you should behave or what you should want and instead are craving to live a life on your terms and even give yourself the room to decide what that even looks like and feels like for you, then you've come to the right place. A new episode of The Jessica Harlow Show goes up every single Thursday with one goal in mind: to bring you something of value that you can use to make your life happier, healthier, and/or sexier. If you've been enjoying the podcast so far, I'd really appreciate it if you left a rating and a review on iTunes. It only takes about a minute, maybe less if you're quick. And you can also share this with your friends on social media. By the way, this podcast is also available for listening to on Spotify. So if any of your friends don't have Apple devices, they can still listen to it on there. If you do spread the word about the podcast in any way, please take a screenshot and email it to me at hellogorgeous@jessicaharlow.com. And in return, you will receive access to some exclusive content such as my hair care tips and secrets for growing the longest, healthiest hair possible, plus so much more. I've got a lot up my sleeve over the next few months. You don't want to miss out. So by the time this episode goes up, it will be the day after Halloween. And what more perfect time than now to talk about and revisit the topic of fears and what it really means to be fearless. I personally believe that we should pick and choose our fears wisely. I think we're all going to have certain fears that, you know, we probably have zero interest in getting over because they're not necessarily things that are really standing in the way between us and what we want to do with our lives, such as, like, you know, fear of heights, sharks, spiders, even though I really don't understand why people are afraid of spiders. But that's besides the point. But those are the kinds of fears that, for most people, they're not really going to stand in the way between themselves and whatever it is that they want to achieve and do and experience in their lives. Those aren't the fears that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the other kinds of fears. I'm specifically talking about the kinds of fears that really hold people back from doing what they love or going after certain things or putting themselves in the position and giving themselves the permission to go after whatever it is that their heart desires. So I personally fear everything and nothing. And what I mean by that is there are so many things that I'm afraid of in life. I'm literally, like, I could tell you, like, I'm pretty sure that I could have rewritten every Final Destination movie that's ever existed just because I can come up with a million and one ways something can go wrong. But even though I'm afraid of so many things in life, I still do them anyway. I'm not saying I do them right away. I'm not saying that I don't hesitate. I'm not saying that it doesn't take me a second to get past certain fears or push past certain things. But I do 9 times out of 10 feel the fear and do it anyway. So for example, I'm very, very shy. Really shy. Nobody thinks that I'm shy because I've trained myself from when I was really young to just push past it. And I have pushed past it more often than I haven't because I know that if I don't, then I would be missing out on certain experiences. I would be missing out on the opportunity to do and experience certain things. Obviously, has putting myself out there hurt me? Of course. Am I afraid of being hurt? Absolutely. Do I do things that put me at risk of getting hurt anyway? Yes, very often. And the reason why is whenever I'm afraid of something that I feel is holding me back from something potentially wonderful, I come up with a bigger fear to motivate me to do the very thing that I was originally afraid of. It's kind of a little bit of a technique of finding a way to fear the opposite. So for example, if you're afraid of doing something because you're like, oh my God, there's a million and one things that can go wrong if I do, well, then I'll think about there's a million and one things that could go wrong if I don't do this thing. The regrets, the missed opportunities, and regret is something that I fear more than anything because I know that the things that I've regretted most in my life up to this point have always been the things that I didn't really do, the chances I didn't take, which, by the way, are very, very few and far between because I typically feel the fear and do it anyway. And that's something that you've probably heard before, the feel the fear and do it anyway, because there is no such thing as a human that is completely fearless unless they're like a psychopath or completely devoid of human emotion. For the most part, if you pay close enough attention to absolutely anyone, even the people who you think are the most confident, the most fearless, if you were to really pay close enough attention to them, you could actually spot their fears and their insecurities very easily. Because everyone, even the most seemingly confident people you know, have fears and insecurities. You can't be human without them. But the brave people have gotten good at feeling the fear but doing things anyway, feeling insecure but still deciding that they're not going to let those things keep them stuck where they are. They're not going to let those fears and insecurities hold them back or keep them from taking action or keep them from trying or putting themselves out there. So, of course, this isn't about being reckless, but this is about fear of things that aren't things. That's what I'm really talking about in this episode, such as fear of failure, fear of judgment, fear of what people will think, what people will say, etc., etc., etc. And these are all very self-centered ways of thinking, if you really think about it. Because let me start by saying no one's actually that important. You aren't that important. I'm not that nobody's that important. And that's fantastic news. Like, we're not really that important to other people. You are never going to be more important to someone else than you are to yourself. It's impossible. And that's fantastic news. That should really help you feel a hell of a lot better, a hell of a lot safer to make some mistakes or potentially make some mistakes. Yes, okay, maybe you'll be the subject of, let's say, someone's gossip for a while. Maybe you'll be made fun of. Maybe people will laugh at you, but really, so what? Most people, thankfully, they're not going to tell you these things to your face for the most part, so you'll probably never know for sure what they actually think. And most of the times, people are too worried about what other people are thinking of them. And here's another thing. The people who are going to judge you, the people who are going to make fun of you, they're probably so committed to being that way that even if you don't mess up, they're going to find something to laugh at you about or criticize you about. So those are the kinds of people that you can never really win with anyway. And you shouldn't want to, because for the most part, the people that are actually doing things with their life, here's my thing. I have a rule of thumb. If I don't admire or respect any aspect of someone's life, I really don't care very much what they think of me and what I do in mine. And by I don't care very much, I mean I don't really care at all. People who spend the most time judging others are the ones that are probably the most afraid of doing anything themselves because they fear judgment, because that's what they know. They know judgment because that's what they do. And so they expect it and they put it out there and they're in this, they live in a very judgmental type of world. That's their state of mind. And like I've said many other times, what you focus on is what you will notice more of. And it's kind of like confirmation bias. We can sit here and argue forever of whether or not we attract what we notice, or we attract more of what we notice, or we notice more based on what we're focusing on. We could talk till we're blue in the face about that. But there is that part of the human mind where whatever it is that you are telling yourself, focusing on, your brain wants to make you be correct and confirm whatever it is that you are feeding it. So it's going to highlight whatever looks like that in your surroundings, in your environment, and in your experiences. So you fear most of what you're putting out already. Look, to a certain extent, judging people is kind of normal. We make judgments. We have opinions. We can't help it. It is what it is. We all do it to an extent. But most people, if they are, you know, mostly healthy-minded, mostly balanced mentally, they're probably too busy actually living their lives and worrying about themselves to sit and judge others for very long. They do eventually move on to other things that have nothing to do with you or what they think of you. And most people are just like you. They're worried about what other people are thinking of them. Everybody has that, a level of that in them. Some people have trained themselves out of it. Some people have lessened it. Some people have quieted it. Some people have distanced themselves from that kind of thinking. And of course, then there's other people who become very obsessive about it. I came across this quote from a man named Charles Cooley that says, "I am not what I think I am. I am not what you think I am. I am what I think you think I am." And what that means is there are a lot of people that spend more of their lives looking at themselves through the lens that they think that others are looking at them through. It's not even the lens that other people are looking at them through. It's the lens they think that other people are looking at them through. So rather than focusing on what they think of themselves and what their opinions are, they are thinking about what others are thinking of them. And this kind of thinking really holds you back and gives you an excuse to procrastinate. I'm a very big believer that we are a lot smarter than we think we are. Even when we think we're doing something wrong, I feel like whatever it is that our minds are doing, it's doing it with a purpose. So this kind of thinking of looking at ourselves and allowing ourselves to worry about what other people are thinking about us and allow these thoughts to hold us back, it gives us an excuse to procrastinate because there's something that maybe we are fearful and trying to avoid. I feel like a lot of the habits that we have, the addictions that we have, they're all in one way or another trying to hold us back or give us an excuse to avoid something that we know we need to do, know that we need to put our energy into. And so we fall back on these negative habits, these less than productive habits, these addictive tendencies, and these negative ways of looking at things in order to give us that permission to continue to stay the way that we are and to continue staying stuck. But I also want to add this layer. We're looking at ourselves through the lens that we think that other people are looking at us through. It's giving us an excuse to procrastinate, but it's also giving us the permission to be judgmental of our own selves, to second guess and to overthink and to overcriticize ourselves. And what it does is it trains you to silence your own judgment, your own taste, your own preferences, your own standards in favor of another's or what you think another's are. And we do this because we are afraid of ourselves. And this ties into why I think we are actually so much smarter than we think we are. And I think that a lot of the negative habits that we have, a lot of the habits that those self-limiting habits, beliefs, tendencies, they are there because we are actually more afraid of ourselves than we are of anything else. We are afraid of making our own decisions, our own judgments, and carving out our own paths because we are afraid that if and when we do it, we will create too much of a lonely road for us, or the people on the road won't be the people we want on the road with us because they just won't understand us, they won't get us, maybe they won't approve of us. Let me explain. There are certain people that they are in a certain place in their lives and they want to get out and they are certain that they want to get out and they move despite what other people are thinking of them. I'm not saying they're completely free of that thinking. I think it comes into people's minds every so often. However, I think for the most part, those people have already made that decision and or maybe for them, the stakes are higher and they don't really have another choice but to move forward despite what other people are going to think because it's kind of like sink or swim. And that's a very different thing. And it also goes into, if you listen to last week's episode where I talked about kind of like that hitting rock bottom can be the biggest motivator in getting your shit together. It kind of goes along with that when you have no other choice. And in one sense, you're kind of lucky when you have no other choice because it makes making a choice very easy. You don't have any other choices. You've got one and you know, it's sink or swim, right? But for many people, it's not quite that intense. It's not that life or death. So we have the luxury of being afraid of making our own decisions, our own judgments, and carving out our own paths because we have the luxury to actually worry about what other people are thinking, because it is a luxury. It means that you are not quite that uncomfortable that you really need to make a change against whatever it is that might seem to be an obstacle to you, or whatever it might be that could potentially be a reason for you to hold back. I think a fear of failure is an illusion. I think to an extent, like I said, we are afraid of our own potential. We are afraid of ourselves. So for me, I kind of view fear of failure as kind of almost the same thing as a fear of success for many people. Sometimes people think they're fearing failure, but really they're fearing success, because we spend so much time thinking to ourselves that we are afraid of what could go wrong, when if we were to open up the box of what could go right, we're too ashamed to admit that we are afraid of that as well. Because if things go right and you succeed, that means the bar has been raised, and you have to wonder if A, you have the capabilities to not just surpass that, but also maintain it, and B, if you want to maintain it. Because when the bar is raised, you might be disappointed by who and what aspects of your life that feel comfortable and warm and familiar to you right now might have to change, might start looking very different. Considering what could go wrong is very easy, but considering what could go right and admitting that we're also afraid of that is even harder, because deep down we know we're also afraid of that too. Because for many people, no matter what their lives look like right now, they're comfortable in the certainty of it. They are comfortable in what they are familiar with, and the unknown, even if it could be great, they don't have a guarantee of that, and even so, it would mean change. There's a price to pay for everything. So to me, the fear of failure, in many ways, can be the same thing as a fear of success, and also a fear of change. Are you really afraid of failing, or are you afraid of what actually being great could also change for you? Maybe you're afraid about what you would have to change about yourself, or what you would have to grow into, or that you would have to grow into something that maybe other people that you love and care about wouldn't approve of. Maybe you fear the, oh, who does she think she is now? When you up your standards, because there's going to be people around you, even well-meaning people, that will selfishly want you to keep the standards that you have because it's the standards that they know what to do with. It's the standards that they benefit from. It's the standards that they feel comfortable with you having. So consider not just your own fears, but also the fears of the people whose judgments you're really so afraid of. Because it's not about the opinions of strangers on the internet and people that you don't know that scare you so much as the opinions of those whom you really care about, what they think of you. And you have to ask yourself, what's that costing you? Because like I said, everything comes with a price. Because once we get to dollars and cents, time and energy, the opportunity cost of playing it too safe, and staying fearful and staying in the box of what people expect you to be and do and have and how you're supposed to act in their eyes, that's when things get really scary. It's scary when the bill comes, right? And there's a price to everything. As much as there's a price in going after what you want, there is also a price in not doing it. And very often the price of not doing something costs you a hell of a lot more than the price of going after what you want, making a mistake, and, you know, making an adjustment. Because sometimes when you make mistakes, when you're actually doing the work, putting in the time, putting in the effort, putting in the energy, taking the chances, I'm not saying overinvest. I never believe in investing more than you're willing to lose into anything. But oftentimes when you fail at something, it's not necessarily a failure, because you're going to make mistakes no matter what. Everybody's going to make mistakes no matter what it is that they try to do. They're at some point going to mess up. But if you can learn, then whatever you just did became invaluable. So the price of going after what you want, even if you mess up at first, even if you mess up the first 100 times, what you're getting out of it is still valuable because you're learning, because it's helping you in order to get to the next level, the next thing, and figure out what you're actually supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to be doing it. You're learning. When you make mistakes, you're not losing. So again, when it goes to everything has a price and everything's costing you, when you're going after what you want, even when you're not really getting exactly the results that you want, you're still learning. And that is actually adding to you rather than subtracting from you. I really recommend watching this TED Talk. I think it was a TED Talk by Tim Ferriss that talks about fear setting. I'm going to link it in the notes of this episode so that you can check it out on YouTube. I really think it's going to help you guys a lot. But one thing that I want to say is when you're brave, people notice. When you are going after what you want, people notice. And in doing that, it in a way gives them the permission to also move in spite of their own fears as well. We're all afraid, whether we look brave or not. Some of us have just gotten better at feeling the fear, but doing it anyway. Stretch out of your comfort zone a little bit. Train yourself in small ways to get out of the feeling of being afraid of what others think of you. I'm going to mention Tim Ferriss again because he talked a little bit about this in his book, The 4-Hour Work Week, where he gave these little ridiculous assignments like go to a coffee shop and ask them if you can have a 10% discount, go lie down on the floor in a public place, et cetera, et cetera. There were some like weird little ridiculous activities that really wouldn't cause you any major damage in your life at all whatsoever if they went well or not. If someone turns you down at a coffee shop, for example, when you ask for a 10% discount, it's fine, you'll live. But it's the act of getting comfortable with doing the uncomfortable and building up that muscle and training yourself to get better at it that can really help you in moments where it actually will count or could count a hell of a lot more. And like I always say, there's always going to come a point in our lives where we're going to die. That's guaranteed. We're all going to die at some point. And it's not going to be the chances that we took that we're going to regret as much as the things that we didn't do, the things that we didn't say, the time that we didn't spend, the things that we always wanted to do but were too afraid. If you think about the worst case scenario for going through with most of the things that we fear and hold ourselves back from doing, they're very often not that serious. They're not that life-threatening. There's always a way to pick yourself up and recover. It goes back to trust. As I was talking about in last week's episode where we talked about trust issues and how to move past them, trust in yourself to do what's necessary. Trust in yourself to handle things, and also trust in something a little bit bigger than yourself. That sense of trusting that in some way, shape, or form, the dots will connect and it will all make sense one day, just like how now you look back at certain things and it all starts to make a hell of a lot more sense. Things don't make sense when we're in them. Things make sense later on. It's just how it is. You don't get the bigger picture while you're still in the middle of the painting. Kind of have to move a little bit further out to kind of see what's happening. But you have to trust that things will work out even when the process doesn't quite look as neat and as tidy and as favorable at times. You have to trust yourself, trust the process, and figure out what's worth the risks and what isn't. It's okay to be afraid. Everyone is afraid, but very huge, okay? Huge, whenever you are making a decision. The opposite of fear is love. So whenever you are making a decision, ask yourself, whether it's a big decision, a small decision, ask yourself whether you are choosing out of fear or out of love. Because the opposite of fear is love. Every decision we make in life is either out of fear, whether it's the fear of missing out, fear of there not being enough, the fear of us not being enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or love, because we think something will be great, because it is the right thing to do for someone that we really care about, because it might be fun, because we want to give, because we want to experience, because we want to contribute, we want to grow, we want to be a part of something, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Never make a decision out of fear. Always find a way to decide based on a place of love. For now, I wanted to say thank you so much for listening. I hope that this week's episode gave you something to think about. If you think that this episode or any episode can help out someone that you know, please feel free to share this podcast with your friends. It really helps the show to grow. I really appreciate it when you guys give me feedback, so feel free to slide into my DMs or leave a comment and let me know what you think on my Instagram. I'm very active on there. I'm very responsive on there, and it's one of the easiest ways for me to get back to you. So in the meantime, I look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.